Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy holidays, Ryan. What's going on, brother?
What's up, Ryan?
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. You know, a number of things to hit upon. You know, what do you make of everything surrounding this Do Your Job web series, the Pats, and the latest NFL investigation up there with what New England's doing here, Ryan?
Look, if this were the Buffalo Bills, no one would care. It's just a pattern we've seen over more than a decade now. And look, man, part of me believes Bill Belichick when he said now on three different occasions that, look, we have nothing to do with the video crew. We had nothing to do with this. But the other part of me has seen historically what has happened and what they've done. And you're like, all right, well, how is this difficult? How does this keep happening just to you and no one else? And you wonder, okay, what's the plan here? You're the best coach in the NFL. You have the best quarterback in the NFL. You have the best defense in the NFL. You guys can win without having to sort of find the gray area, and you keep finding the gray area. And, look, I don't know what the situation was in the press box in the Browns game, but if I'm asking questions at the NFL, I'm like, all right, so you're interviewing this advanced scout for Do Your Job. Can you explain to me why the camera was pointed at the Bengals sidelines for 8 minutes?
8 minutes, dude. 8 minutes. So let's say they were videoing stock footage to use as B-roll at some point in this, because the website, I don't know if you ever watched it. Moose and I actually looked at it yesterday during the show. It's actually legitimate. Like, it's a really well produced web series they have. Like, they put a lot of money in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point of 8 minutes, like, if you're videoing footage to use as stock footage hypothetically. Okay, you don't need 8 minutes worth of it. You know, that's a lot locked in on the sideline, really.
Look, it gets you in the – it sets the mood, Taz. You need 8 minutes to set up everything. And by the way, when the guy taking the video, who apparently was contracted, says to the security person in the press box, hey, man, let's just delete this video and forget it all ever happened.
Yep.
That to me is sort of a red flag.
It's a little sketchy. Yeah.
A little sketchy. So, it's, it's weird. I just don't understand what they're doing, and I'll be interested to see how the NFL – decides to punish them if they do.
Taz and I were talking about it in terms of the timeline here. Are they going to really have this thing drag on like these other investigations? Don't you think it would be best for the league to kind of get this rectified one way or the other and have some? I mean, we're not curing cancer here. It shouldn't take that long to investigate what was transpiring there. No.
You'd think. I saw a report, I think Pro Football Talk reported this yesterday, that he talked to six AFC guys, and three of them, I think, felt like the tape should be released to the team so they could see what it was, and maybe a few others thought that it should be released publicly as well, which I thought was kind of funny. You would think, but you never, like I said before, when this first broke, someone said to me, what's going to happen? They said, you never know. The NFL suspended Tom Brady four games for sort of made-up Deflategate thing, and I think everyone was on the same side about that being silly, and then we know about what happened with Spygate and then the other sort of random punishments that happens to players and or teams through the years. It just seems like Roger Goodell spins a wheel, and wherever it lands, that's what he decides punishment-wise, so I guess we have to wait for him to decide when he's going to spin the wheel.
Exactly. So if we shift gears and talk about MVP, so what's the deal, Ryan? Do you think, like a lot of folks feel, like it's Lamar Jackson's to lose?
Yeah, I've been on this Lamar Jackson MVP bandwagon for a while. It's just, he's just so incredibly fun to watch, and he's doing it in a way that doesn't require him to throw for 350 yards every week. He just beats you every way imaginable and then some ways you couldn't even think of. And he's so much fun. And the only concern I have is just taking hits. We saw it with RG3. We've seen it a little bit with Carson Wentz. But ironically, he got hurt in the last game, thigh injury, throwing the football. He said he hurt it on throwing that 61-yard touchdown pass to Hayden Hurst. He's going to be okay, so he's going to play this week. No reports of late-night bowling, so I think he's good to go. But who else is in it? Deshaun Watson laid a nag a few weeks ago.
Right.
Or last week, actually. There's Russell Wilson, of course, but I feel like Russell Wilson is now a one-man show in Seattle. He can't do it every week, even though he comes close. Every week we do a ballot at CBS Top 5. This week, number 5, Ryan Tannehill, baby. Here he comes.
Yeah, there it is.
That's funny. You know, they're playing, obviously, tonight against the Jets. The Jets, you know, one drama story after another. Do you think it's going to be one and done for Le'Veon Bell wearing a Jet uniform 1 year and they'll get rid of him after this season,
well,
Ryan?
You guys know this. Le'Veon and Jamal Adams have been reportedly going to be traded as a possibility. I'm taking a deep sigh because I know Adam Gase didn't want to sign Le'Veon Bell to all that money. He's there. So are you going to blow up the team next year and start over after what happened this year when you did a terrible job in terms of bringing Sam Darnold along and sort of all the headaches that came with that? Look, if you can move Le'Veon Bell, fine, go for it. I'm not sure Jamal Adams getting him off the team solves a bunch of problems. Feels like it creates more than it solves. But to me, the bigger issue is how is Adam Gase going to fix this, and why is Sam Darnold still the way, not playing any better than he's supposed to be playing because you're the quarterback whisperer? So you can trade all the guys you want, but you better have a plan. Doesn't seem like he does, and I don't know how. I guess the real question is which New York team is going to be worse next year. I think right now the Giants have a slight advantage in terms of being worse, but the Jets, if they trade away all these players, it could be a conversation that they're both racing for the bottom.
I mean, and speaking on the Jets, though, I mean, what, and you mentioned, you know, Ryan, you mentioned Gase. I mean, how long do you think he lasts? I mean, as the head cheese there with the Jets. I mean, because this is like he's not exactly between, you know. I mean, really, it's like there could be a chance that he's gone before anybody knows it. You know, before the season ends, as the season ends, I should say.
Yeah, it sounds like he may more than likely back next year, and on some level, I understand that you sometimes need more than a year to do what you want to do.
Right, agreed.
I get all that. But, I mean, have there been any signs of real progress? I mean, they beat the Dolphins last week. Throw a parade. You beat the Dolphins in the last second field goal after a defensive pass interference got you the ball back. I just don't see the progress, and that's sort of what you're looking for. Like in Arizona, okay, Cliff Kingsbury's won 3 football games, but they have the pieces in place. Kyler
Absolutely.
Gets a little better each and every week. The
Absolutely.
Defense stinks. You can fix that. But what's Adam Gase done? I don't see it. And like him and Freddie Kitchens are two guys that probably should be one and done. But here's the thing that I always say when people get fired up about getting rid of guys. All right, you better have a plan B. You're gonna there'll be 8 probably guys fired this year. There are always 7 or 8 guys. There aren't 7 or 8 coaches you can hire that are going to come in and fix your football team. So that's what you need to have in, sort of in the back of your mind, because – you can fire whoever you want, but if you bring in a guy who's worse than the guy you just fired, guess what? It's not going to work out.
You know, when you look at down in Dallas, do you believe Jerry Jones that they have had no conversations with Urban Meyer?
No, I don't. But look, here's my theory about how the coaching search will go, assuming that Jason Garrett at some point gets relieved. Jerry Jones does not like Jimmy Johnson, and Jerry Jones dislikes Jimmy Johnson for a few reasons, I would imagine. One that pops into my head is that Jimmy Johnson took credit for winning all those Super Bowls, and Jerry Jones wants to take credit. I think that's in part, this is my conspiracy theory, why Jason Garrett lasted so long, because Jerry Jones could say whatever he wanted to the media, said, I did this, I did that, and he knows Jason Garrett isn't going to pipe up. So you bring in someone like Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer's not going to sit on the sidelines when that team starts winning football games and say, oh, yeah, this is all Jerry Jones's genius, fix the football team. I deserve none of the credit. And that's going to be the real sort of butting of heads. It's also why someone like Ron Rivera, I don't know if he would be willing to buy into that, even though I think he would be great for that football team. So we'll see what happens. It wouldn't surprise me if Jason Garrett signs a 10-year contract. You just never know what's going on. I would love for someone like Urban Meyer to be in Dallas. To give that offense a chance, because I feel like they don't have a chance with sometimes some of the things Jason Garrett does. But we'll see. I suspect that they've had some sort of communication. There's no reason not to. You can certainly talk to whoever you want if he's not currently employed by an NFL team. And Urban Meyer has hinted that he wants to coach. So that seems like a guy I would call first.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, Moose and I were talking about that about a week or so ago. And I was bringing up the fact that, to the point you kind of just made, Ry, like I think it's going to be difficult for any coach, especially an Urban Meyer type, or let's just say, I know he wouldn't be, you know, like a Nick Saban. I don't think those type of men are going to be subservient
right
at any time to Jerry Jones or any owner. You know what I mean? So I do you think there's more of a chance that we could see someone, maybe a younger guy, you know, coming out of college, you know, a college coach coming in there or something like that, that maybe a guy like that might have a better look to go in and be the Dallas Cowboys head coach, Jeff Brom type guy, or Scott Frost, Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule,
yeah.
Matt Rhule's a hot name. He was a hot name last year, and we were just talking about Adam Gase. He would be the Jets head coach right now if they would have allowed him to hire his assistants. They didn't want to do that. And Matt Rhule, even as a young guy, said, look, I'm not walking into that situation with my hands tied behind my back and asking me to fight a tiger. That's just not going to work out.
Right.
So maybe there's a little more leeway. The good news in Dallas is that Stephen Jones, Jerry's son, handles a lot of that stuff, too. And he's a little more, less overbearing and sort of more open-minded. So maybe that situation where he could sell this on someone, maybe a little younger. People always mention Lincoln Riley. Maybe Lincoln Riley at some point wants to coach. He's still in his 30s, and he is the mayor. No, he's not. He's the governor of Oklahoma. He can do whatever he wants down there. You come into Dallas, you got people to answer to. You're not recruiting. You have to wait on the draft and these guys you can sign. I don't know if he would do that right now. Maybe Matt Rhule, he was interested last year, would be an easier get, so to speak. But again, he made it clear that he's not going to come into a situation where he's just a puppet, and then you can blame everything on him when you win one football game.
You know, Ryan, how deep does, does championship contention? You look at the AFC and the NFC combined. How many teams do you think can win the Super Bowl this year?
The Ravens, the Chiefs. I have to put the Patriots in there, even though they do not look very good, only because they have a history of winning these things. The Saints, the 49ers, and, I think that's it. I'm not sold on the Packers, even though they're 10-3. The Cowboys, obviously, come on, they're leading their division. The issue with Seattle is it's just Russell Wilson. The defense hasn't played very well. I like the Vikings, but I just don't like Kirk Cousins in big games, even though he's played a little better this year. And the Texans, I can't trust them. The Buffalo Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers are fun stories, but let's be real. I don't think they're going to make a run to the Super Bowl. In fact, I think there's a better chance the Titans sort of sneak in.
I'm a big Bills fan. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Wait a second. what are you going to do Sunday night when Benny Snell has to play the Bills? What kind of shirt are you wearing?
Hey, dude, you want to hear something about Benny Snell? We got something to tell you about Benny Snell. So we're supposed to be on as a guest. I got to go there, Moose.
Yeah.
Just because we have this thing going with Ryan about Benny Snell. It was Friday, Moose? What day was it?
Yeah, it was Friday.
Benny Snell is supposed to be on as a guest. No show.
What?
Yeah.
No show.
How's that, dude?
I was like, Benny Snell was about to call into basically there's no bigger fan on national radio than Taz is of Benny Snell. Like, he did himself a disservice. He was walking in basically to heaven. Taz would have started referencing his high school games.
Yeah, Taz is the kid standing at the fence after the football game with the football to get signed, and Benny Snell says, "Get out of the way!
Get out of the way, kid!"
Yeah. Man. All right. Well, look, I understand
done.
That.
So here's the deal, right? I am done with Mr. Snell. I'm telling you.
Man, that's a sad day.
It is bad.
Ryan Locke out there in Denver. I'll tell you, and I know it's early. He's confident. Has a swagger about him. Makes all the throws. We know that he was kind of turnover prone or a little errant with the football, a little bit too much of a gambler in Missouri at times, but it looks like Elway finally found a quarterback.
Let's hope so. One game, but that one game was great against the Texans, as we talked about earlier. They just gave up in that game, but whatever. Credit goes to Drew Locke as well. It makes you wonder why it took him so long to get on the field. I know he's on IR, quote-unquote, but he wasn't hurt that whole time. Joe Flacco didn't work out. Brandon Allen didn't work out, and that's okay. So now, this makes some sense. Denver's not going anywhere. You have 3 or 4 games left. Put him out there, the rookie. See what you have. And if it works out, great. If not, you can sort of plan around that in the offseason. But he had a great start, and I liked him a lot. We talked about it in the spring, and I thought he would have a chance to be pretty good. He had one good game, and we'll see. I mean, don't forget, Daniel Jones had a barn burner when he came out against Tampa Bay. And everyone,
you're right about that.
Yeah, everyone was yelling at everyone else who didn't love Daniel Jones as number 6 overall. So we'll see. But it's a great start, and I'm happy for him. He's a nice kid. He said and did all the right things, even when things were sort of looking down, not only during the draft process, but early in the NFL season. And his teammates seem to like him. So, look, those are all great things, and I hope he continues to play well.
I'll tell you this. Odell Beckham Jr., where Taz and I spent a lot of time talking about, over the course of the last year, 2 years since we've been doing the show, Ryan, the drama just does not go away with Odell Beckham Jr. Is this going to be one and done for him? Out there in Cleveland with the Browns?
3 weeks ago, I got a lot of conspiracy theories. I floated another conspiracy theory after watching the Patriots sort of muddle through another game offensively and seeing Tom Brady as frustrated as I've ever seen him. Do not be surprised, according to my tinfoil hat theories here. I feel like Odell Beckham's going to end up in New England. I just feel like it's going to happen in the offseason. AB didn't work out. He can't come back because he still hasn't even – the investigation hasn't been done with the NFL, so who knows when he'll be cleared to play. And I feel like they need a receiver. They draft, they're going to pick late in the first round. They're going to get a receiver there. They want someone older who's established, who can make plays. And we've seen it before where these guys go to New England and suddenly get their acts together. And, look, it's not like Odell Beckham has been Antonio Brown in terms of trying to get kicked off the Raiders. It seems like it's been a subtle sort of long game where he just – it's one thing you hear about, something else you hear about, the groin injury. He's not getting the looks and all that. It is weird that he's not – being a bigger part of that offense. It's strange, in fact. He's a much better player. He's a better player, not a much better player than Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry is the engine that drives that offense. He's having a great year. But how does this not work? And it makes you wonder exactly what's going on. We see little clips about Odell Beckham asking Jimmy Garoppolo to come get him. Like, maybe he needs a ride after the game to go get pizza, but it sounded like he wanted to get out of Cleveland, and I understand that as well. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to be there. It wouldn't make sense to keep him if he's not happy and try to get something for him and keep building that team.
Yeah, hey, Ryan, great job as always. We appreciate the time this morning, and happy holidays to you and your family, and we'll be watching, we'll be reading, all right?
Thanks,
you
Ryan.
Too. Thank you, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.